This week, the Red Cross declared the conflict in Syria a civil war. What do you believe was the tipping point, if you like, that convinced them this was now worth considering a civil war?
I don't think that the situation exactly as a civil war, as the Red Cross described, because what we have in Syria, a war from the Assad militias, Assad gangs, against the civilians and against the Syrian people. It has been 17 months of systematic killings, and it was the response of the peaceful demonstrations, more killings and atrocities and massacres. This is why it's an abnormal to see some people taking arms to defend themselves. And also the officers, army officers who refuse to obey the instructions to kill their fellow citizens, they defect and they start to launch a campaign against the Assad militias.
We've seen the defection of at least 18 Syrian generals and many soldiers defected from the regime, as you say, and taken up arms on the other side in many cases. Do you think this has been a factor in the Red Cross determining that this is now a civil war?
No, the Red Cross, they have different definition of the civil war. They call it the civil war mainly because the type of the guns has been used and the situation regarding the civilians. And this is why they call it the civil war. But it's we don't have a descriptions like in Syrian civil war. It's not a war between different sects, rather than a war from the Assad militias against the Syrian people. We don't see any, of course, even though the Assad regime is trying as much as he possible to invest in the civil war, the last three or four massacres in Al-Hawla, in Al-Khubayr, and the last one in Kirmisa and Hama, it was a sign of the Assad regime arming some sects of the Syrian people against others to invest in the civil war, to send a message to the Syrian people that the only alternative for the Assad regime is the civil war.
We have reports of the fighting in Damascus, which is, as we understand, intensifying at the moment, and that is painted very much as a fight between government troops and members of the Free Syria Army. Do you say that that's not what's going on there?
No, exactly. This is what's going on. It's now the Free Syrian Army, they reach the capital, and they start fighting against the Assad regime. But that doesn't mean that it's what we have a civil war. Because a civil war, that means a war between different sects or different tribes or all of that. But no, until now what we have, as I said before, a war from the Assad regime against the Syrian people. The Free Syrian Army, they now reach Damascus, the capital, and that gives sign of the increasing power of the Free Syrian Army. And I think that in the coming days, we'll have more and more signs of the powerful, how the powerful the Free Syrian Army is, and at the same time, more defection. Today, a general, a major general, and many colonels have been defected, and they went to Jordan and to Turkey.
The Syrian National Council has been meeting with ambassadors to the United Nations, urging them to take stronger action, indeed enforcement mechanisms, for the regime's non-compliance with Kofi Annan's six-point peace plan. What measures do you think they're looking for? Why would they be a better approach than what's been hammered out so far?
We need a strong Security Council resolution under Charter 7 to protect the civilians. If the Security Council failed to adopt any resolution under Charter 7 because the Russian or the Chinese position, I think it is important for the international community to move beyond the Security Council. I don't have expectation for tomorrow, but most likely that the Russian they will have a veto again. And this is why it's we cannot wait until that Russia changes position.
So what do you mean by moving beyond the Security Council?
There were many cases where the international community formed the coalition of the willing, like what's happened in Kosovo in 1999, where the Security Council was unable to adopt any single resolution because of the Russian position, and then the NATO decided to launch a campaign to protect the civilians in Kosovo. We are in the same situation like what we have in Kosovo in 1999. And this is why we urge the international community, the Arab League, and Turkey to take actions before the situation getting out of our hands.
So you're talking about military intervention?
What we call exactly to have a safety zone inside the Syrian territories between the Syrian and Turkish borders, and that required a limited no-fly zone above the designated area. I don't see other options that which can enforce Bashar Assad to stop the killings, without using the force against him.
As you foreshadowed, Russia is not a fan of this idea. The special envoy Kofi Annan has been in Moscow trying to secure Russia's backing for a new resolution at the Security Council, potentially allowing military intervention. But the Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, says that you can't blackmail Bashar al-Assad out of power. Is that the problem, that that no matter what the Security Council does, it won't be a lever?
It's clear that the Security Council will not be able to adopt any resolution because the Russian position. This is, I said before, we don't need to waste our time more and more. We need to take an action. And this is why it's important for the international community not to wait and to take actions beyond the Security Council under the umbrella Friends of Syria, of Syrian people who just met in Paris. At that meeting, the Qatari Minister of Foreign Affairs mentioned many examples of the willings or the coalition of the willings. And this is, I think, Syria is the second example where the international community has to take action because the Security Council failed to protect the civilians in Syria.
There's some concern about the potential of chemical or biological weapons in Syria. Jordan's foreign minister says his country is taking precautions. There is some debate about whether there is chemical weapons in Syria. What do you believe? And is there a risk that they're there and that they may be used?
Of course there is a risk because the Assad is crazy. He has been using all type of guns against his own people. And maybe there is a light chemical weapon has been used in Bab al-Amar and Homs. This regime has no red line. And this regime can use all types of chemical weapons, biological weapons, to stay in power. This is why we said before that the Assad regime, it's a type of genocidal leader. If we did not take actions before, I think that would lead Syria to a much worse scenario.